You're an ice cream cone. You're a lollipop. You're a baby chick. You're a pogo stick. You're a magic trick. You're a spinning top. You're special.
Welcome back to the second Neighborhood Archive podcast. I'm glad to have Eric back with us tonight. What we've decided to do for the second round is just to tackle one of the old Mr. Rogers LPs. We've just kind of picked out one of them we both enjoyed and thought we would take a look at the King Friday the 13th Celebrates LP that, as far as we can tell, it was released sometime in the late 60s. Possibly a little bit earlier, but we thought we'd go through that tonight and maybe dig into it a little deeper than the average listener might dig, and just see what we can come up with. So, Eric, thanks again for being here tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Honestly, let's just go right out of here, and we'll just start with side one. Side one opens with Mr. Rogers' Invitation, which this song basically just goes through the neighborhood of make-believe. I mean, is kind of what it entails. It describes the different parts of the neighborhood of make-believe. And from what I understand, this was the song that was used as the opening song, the theme song, if you will, for the Canadian show, when Mr. Rogers first had a television show.
Would you like to meet the tiger who lives there in that clock, or see that Eiffel Tower and hear a French one talk? Would you like to use a telephone?
So, Eric, I'll turn to you here, and what are your thoughts on the opening part of this album?
Well, and I think you were the one who kind of filled me in. It sounds like the Canadian show was mostly about the make-believe neighborhood, and with just maybe an opener and a closer of Fred at his house or at some house. And that's interesting. That's how the song is written. It's really about... he names several characters, the King and Daniel, and kind of like a little musical tour of the neighborhood. So a little different from what the American version of the show was and what the focus was.
You know, Mr. Rogers goes into talking with the listeners, just a general welcome.
I like you as you are, without a doubt or question, or even a suggestion, 'cause I like you as you are.
And he sings a song called I Like You As You Are, which appears on the first Won't You Be My Neighbor album that came out in the late 60s. But then that song was replaced when that album was re-released, I noticed. It was replaced with It's You I Like. And so that song only appeared on the first release of that album.
Yeah, and I kind of noted that too. They're kind of similar songs, and I think it's on a Children's Corner album too. I Like You As You Are, although I think Daniel sings it. And it's interesting. Before he sings too, he's got, I think it's on the first track, he has a little introduction that's in rhyme, which is a little unusual because he's talking. He's not singing it.
Are you sitting on the floor? Are you sitting in a chair? Are you resting on the ceiling? Are you floating in the air?
Then, of course, the trolley comes. You know, actually, he somewhat summons the trolley, I guess.
I noticed the trolley kind of has a theme, but it's not... I guess this probably predated Johnny Costa, so it doesn't have the piano theme that everybody knows. It's definitely being played. You know, it's not just a random chiming. It's some sort of chime theme that plays as it comes in. I really wonder how this would have been done on the show, but... so as they go into make-believe, in the record, if you had never seen the show, you would almost get the impression that he's riding on the trolley, because, you know, he says, let's go, and he says, we're going through the tunnel, and he yells like a kid would yell. You know, we always did that in long car trips.
When
you go through the big tunnel, you try to yell the whole time and not run out of breath, and he yells hello as they go through. I assume it was just a some sort of dissolve or something on the actual TV show. Then he's in, Mr. Rogers is supposed to be in make-believe with us during this part of the story, and he whispers almost like he's hiding behind a bush and doesn't quite want anyone to know he's there.
Yeah, that's the impression I got.
Yeah. And he kind of fills us in on what's going on. He says that, you know, you can see Daniel over at his clock, and Reardon, who he says is one of the King's messengers, is speaking with him. So then you go from there and you can hear Reardon and Daniel talking, and that and Mr. Rogers fills us in that all the king's messengers sing, and he's telling Daniel that he's expected at the castle, and he does this thing that I think seems like Fred did a lot, where he kind of, it's almost like he thought plain numbers were boring or something, so
yeah.
instead of saying, you know, you're expected at 4:30 or whatever it is, Daniel's expected at 17 seconds past the fourth minute. Anyway, and Daniel says he's very excited about King Friday's birthday, and he mentions that his stripes are tingling and his heart feels like it has butterflies inside, which leads us into the
next song. Exactly, leads into the next track, which is Then Your Heart Is Full of Love, as sung by John Reardon.
When your heart has butterflies inside it, then your heart is full of love. When your
heart... It's another one of those songs where I, part of it is almost too hokey and too syrupy to be a Mr. Rogers song.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, there are some deeper lyrics about, feel another's gladness or cry another's sadness, which is, I mean, empathizing with other people is really not any lesson that's taught in children's shows. You know,
mm-hmm.
you're kind of taught to be kind and you're taught not to be mean, but, grieving with somebody or something like that. I thought that was much deeper than the rest of the song.
Yeah, this song, I always associate this song with Maggie Stewart, and I guess I never realized that this song goes back as far as it does, date-wise, you know, because I always associate this with, you know, Maggie Stewart would come by the house and, and do sign language along with this song in the later episodes, so I guess I had forgotten that this song was dates so far back. Well, the story continues here, and, Reardon leaves and leaves the castle and goes to Corny's factory. And at Corny's factory, Corny shares with him that he was just the person he was looking for. Corny says he's been working on King Friday's birthday present and leads into a song called Looking for a Friend.
I'm looking for a friend, I'm looking for a friend, I'm looking for a friend who looks like you. Just any kind of friend, just any kind of friend, just any friend like you will do.
The more I see and hear Corny, the more I love him. He really wasn't given a lot to do, it doesn't seem, in the later years, uh-huh. You know. But he's really wacky in the early stuff in the records, and there's a, I don't remember if it's before, oh, I guess it's after the song. And he says, is fried egg one word or two? And Reardon doesn't even understand what he's asking. And he says one word and he spells out Friday. But Corny, for all these years, has been under the impression that King Friday's name is King Fried Egg.
Is fried egg all one word?
Yes, sir. Friday, all one word.
Well, that spells Friday.
Very good, sir.
Friday, just like the day of the week. Well, how do you like that? And I always thought it was King Fried Egg.
It's such a funny voice, too. I mean, it's all of Fred's voices are pretty impressive, the range he had and stuff, but this, I don't know, I find X's voice funny, too, but...
Yeah.
But this is a very comical character that, unfortunately, we didn't see much of in the later years.
Right.
And, you know, he always was kind of scatterbrained, I guess, and really busy with maybe taking on too much at his factory. So that might have been part of, I guess that he was kind of a scatterbrained character, and that this makes sense with that, but... Anyway, I thought that fried egg thing was funny.
Yeah, I did too. But then Reardon goes on and heads to the tree where he talks with Henrietta. And this part of the album, this is, if there's one part of the album that just, it's like nails on a chalkboard for me, is the end of the song. The end of the song that Henrietta sings. She sings her meow, meow, beautiful song.
Meow, 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 beautiful.
meow, meow, telephone. Meow, 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 beautiful. Oh, Mr. Rogers, meow.
Yeah, and it's great. It really is. It's in typical Henrietta style. It's just like you would expect on the show. But she lets out the most ear-piercing, just obnoxious meow at the end. It doesn't seem like it fits the rest of the song because the song is so light. It seems like as she's going through the song, and she gets to the end of this and just lets loose with this sound.
Oh, Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, it's funny. It really is just an excuse for her to sing her theme song, even though it really doesn't make much sense in the story. But and he mentions Mr. Rogers kind of whispers again as Reardon goes to the tree that that Henrietta lives in the schoolhouse, which you kind of forget after time that it's a schoolhouse. So you just think it's her house.
Right.
And she's the governess of 9 nice mice, which I guess was an early thing that was referred to, but was kind of lost over the years too.
Eventually. But then the record goes on with X comes out and greets Reardon and greets Henrietta, and of course is excited that it's King Friday's birthday, and Reardon sings a song called Today Is New. And I couldn't find much information about Today Is New other than the fact that the only episodes I've come across so far that include that song, there were a few episodes, you know, into around, you know, the year 2000, 2001, somewhere around in there, that song was sung twice. But between this album
by Maggie Stewart, right?
Maggie Stewart did it once, and then there's one where it's done in the neighborhood of make-believe by Joe Negri and Chuck Aber. And, you know, between those two versions of the song and the release of this record, you know, we don't see much of this song, or hear much of it, rather.
Yeah,
but it's typical, in typical John Reardon fashion, where it's, you know, what you would expect from Reardon.
Today is new. It's new to everyone you meet. It's new to you.
Yeah, this is another song, like I said to you, I think off the air, where it's kind of just a saccharine, typical kiddie show song, and it really doesn't feel to me like a Mr. Rogers song. And what's funny about it is it's kind of about, the philosophy seems to be, if you smile, you'll be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And later, it seems like he rethought that philosophy, and more of his songs were about, whatever you're feeling, that's okay.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Don't smile if you don't feel happy. You need to let people know if you're unhappy. Things like that. And not that there's anything wrong with this song, but like I said, it just feels like, oh, we need a song about being happy or having a good day, you know. And there wasn't much thought given to it beyond that.
Well, this is the point in the album too, where we learn kind of the plot of the whole story. We already know by this point that it's King Friday's birthday. And this is really where they start to talk about the fact that the presents will be given, but it's presents that King Friday will be giving to all of the neighbors. And apparently it's kind of an annual event there, because they all have expectations of what they want. At this time, you know, X mentions that he's hoping to get the moon. And Henrietta, for the first time of many times throughout the album, mentions that she wants Jupiter, that she's really just got her heart set on Jupiter. But with so much to wonder about, you know, X talks about, you know, how exciting it is to be able to look at the moon, and he can only imagine what it would be like to have that all for his own. And that leads into the creation duet, which is the last song on side one.
Who made the rainbow and the sky? Who made the bird and let it fly? Who made the hour? Who made the day? Who had the power to make the flower?
This is a song that I've liked. I only remember it from the newer the episodes that were rerun up through a couple years ago. And I remember, I think Daniel might bring it up both times that I remember hearing it. Mm-hmm. And at least one time, actually, I think both times Lady Aberlin sings it with him too.
Right.
One time, the lyric is changed to It's a question and answer song, basically. So so Daniel, or X in this case, sings, who made the moon, who made various things in nature? And whoever answers, Reardon or Lady Aberlin, answers back, God made this, God made that. There's one episode in the more recent episode, one of the more recent episodes where that is the lyric, and then another one where they've changed it to love made this, love made that. Mm-hmm. They were both pretty much run all the time, so I don't know if there was a certain reason that that was changed or not. But
episode 15-19, Daniel and Lady Aberlin are singing this song, and it very quickly, if you notice, she changes one of the lines, God made the sea and she made the land.
Yes.
And later in the song, she, you know, the line that says he made it all, she keeps as he made it all, but it's just that one line she changes in there.
God made the sea and she made the land.
I think it's great, number one, that she did that, and number two, it makes me really wonder if that was kind of an ad lib, and if it was an ad lib, I'm curious what the reaction from, you know, the people on set were, if that was a big deal to them, or if that was one of the things they just shrugged it off and it was a done deal. I've always thought that was just very interesting. So the record flips at this point, and we go to side two, and on side two it opens up with the song "Find a Star," sung by Reardon.
Find a star that seems just right. Wish with all your might, and then again. Find the star, don't let it out of sight.
It's a little bit more of a flimsy song, too. It doesn't have a lot of depth to it. It kind of reminds me of something that, you know, any local kid show could have had on their program. Mm-hmm. And it's about wishing on a star and a horseshoe and all these things. And it just says basically wish on all these things and, you know, maybe you'll get your wish. That kind of contradicts the messages of later songs, like you've got to do it and wishes don't make things come true.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it ended up being used later as like the main theme in the Star for Kitty opera.
Tiny star, a star that looks just right. Wish with all your might, and there you are.
Tiny star, be mine tomorrow night.
And you know, of course, following this song, we hear Henrietta share for the second time again that she's really just hoping for Jupiter. She wants Jupiter as a gift from King Friday.
Edda's manners are not the greatest.
I'd forgotten how many times she mentions that, and this is only the second, but I want to say she mentions it five times, I think, throughout the album. But
Henrietta's not exactly modeling the behavior very well.
right. You know, and at this point too, X shares that he knows a lot about clouds and talks about being a cloud hopping owl, and being able to hop clouds has taken some practice, he says. Which leads into "You've Got to Learn Your Trade," sung by X the Owl.
You've got to learn your trade. Everything takes practice. If you want to make the grade, you've got to practice. You have got to learn your job, not simply turn a knob. You've got to practice.
So after Reardon reminds them that they're expected at the castle at 19 seconds past the fourth minute. So they have to arrive 2 seconds after Daniel, I believe. And then Fred whispers again. He wonders if King Friday really gives the type of presents that everybody's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says he sees X flying to the castle with Henrietta on his back.
Yeah, I love that.
It's a funny image. And then we hear a fanfare, and King Friday appears, and everybody bows to him, and they think that's the next track, right?
Yeah, the next song that comes up is everyone singing to King Friday, which, you know, as he leads into that, as you might expect, he refers to that day as the most important day of the calendar year. You know, it's his birthday, and that leads into his request of everyone to sing happy birthday to him. But of course they don't sing happy birthday, they sing Prosperous Interval of Time, which is the kingly version of happy birthday. I think my favorite part of this track, and this is where I think Henrietta somewhat redeems herself with me in this album. I love the fact that you can hear her singing over everybody else on this track. I think that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Let me find
and her comment afterwards.
Meow always meows that song.
Well, I guess she likes it.
Meow, guess so.
Now, because she's got meows, I don't know what her exact sentence is, but I interpret it as that King Friday always asks for them to sing that song. And, you know, I just posted recently on one of the episodes, I think about Alike and Different, that King Friday was the butt of jokes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And probably more than any other character on the show. And obviously you couldn't make fun of Daniel, you couldn't make fun of any of the kids. Even Lady Elaine, being cast as the villain, really wasn't made fun of a lot. You know, they tried to understand her, but King Friday was constantly, you know, people were whispering behind his back, and everybody accepted him, and he was kind of like an overbearing parent or something. That is very funny to me. But on the other hand, they're all complaining, or they will as the record goes on, about how boring all these songs are, you know, and they're just excited to get to the cake and ice cream and the presents, obviously. And they're right, it is kind of boring, and yet it's maybe 75% of the album are these King Friday songs. So I really do like this album for the peaks it gives you at the early versions of the show.
Uh-huh.
But I almost want to fast forward through, you know, all King Friday songs, because they really aren't very interesting. But anyway.
Well, speaking of getting to the presents, that seems to be what comes next. Of course, after a few more songs from, or actually one more song from King Friday, I guess it's not actually a song. It's his recitation of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, which is his version, scintillate, scintillate, diminutive stellar orb. Of course, X and Henrietta at this point talk more about the presents, and go figure, Henrietta says once again that she is hoping for Jupiter, that she really wants Jupiter. The royal presents are King Friday mentions that it's time to give the presents, and something I noticed at this point in the album is kind of something that seems out of place to me, was a sound clip, it was a sound effect of applause and cheering.
Now for the presents.
I guess the reason it's out of place is because earlier, whenever he finishes reciting his version of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, there's a few small hand claps that seem to go hand in hand with the fact that there's only about maybe five people around. But when he announces that there's going to be presents, so yeah, this leads us into a track called Kingly Gifts. King Friday introduces this track himself by reciting a poem about his birthday, about the day of the week, about Friday the 13th, and it leads into a song called Kingly Gifts.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of, there's a song that Lady Elaine sings a couple times that's, you know, about all the... It's a list song, basically. It's about all the things in her museum.
Oh, right,
wares, I think it is. And clever rhymes, I mean, you know, because it's all about things you would have a very hard time rhyming. Obviously, odd, strange gifts and oceans and mountains and things. So it's actually pretty entertaining to hear.
If you'd like to have the moon see me, if you'd like to have the Adriatic Sea see me, if you're smitten with a star in Pleiades, say please, you never know, it may be yours tomorrow.
So the gifts are given, but before the gifts are given, of course, Henrietta has to remind us one last time that she really wants Jupiter. The gifts are given, and Daniel receives the gift of the Northern Star, which apparently, based on what King Friday says, was his gift the previous year. King Friday says he would like Daniel to keep the Northern Star, as he's done a very good job with it. Corny receives the Forest Primeval. X receives the Moon. And here we go with Henrietta. She receives the Tropic of Capricorn, much to her dismay.
And just to back up to Corny, I like that Corny doesn't even know what the Forest Primeval is.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a line that, thanks, I guess.
Yeah. And, you know, equally, I like the response that we get from Henrietta, again, somewhat redeeming herself on this album for me, as it makes me laugh when I hear her response to her gift of the Tropic of Capricorn.
The Tropic of Capricorn.
Meow, what?
Now, I think Lady Elaine would have been around at this time, although she's not on this album.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if her being, you know, a bit more mischievous than the other characters and not being here, if that's why, I mean, Corny's got these lines that are kind of, you know, more humorous than later years. And all these characters are almost kind of filling in the gap left by Lady Elaine. They're being a little less polite and not making trouble, obviously.
Right.
But Henrietta certainly, you know, stirring things up in this.
Yeah.
Hey, on a side note, Lady Elaine would have been cast in that role.
Oh yeah, no, that's a good point. Hey, on a side note, it's interesting to bring up Lady Elaine. I know we mentioned Edgar Cook earlier too. Edgar Cook and Lady Elaine, if you notice, are actually on the album cover. The two of them are they're on the top right hand corner. Grandpere is on the album cover as well, but none of the three of those characters appear. I thought that was somewhat odd. You know,
yeah.
that they would be on the front of the album and not necessarily on the album itself. So anyway. So Henrietta is clearly disappointed at this point with her gift of the Tropic of Capricorn. And Corny tries to encourage her to talk to King Friday, share her feelings, share her disappointment. And she's kind of hush-hushed by Reardon a little bit. And King Friday does step in and ask her to share what she's thinking. At this point, Reardon sings a song called It's Good to Talk.
It's good to talk. It's good to say the things we feel. It's good to talk. We're much more real without the lock. It's good to talk.
So after It's Good to Talk, you know, once Reardon is done singing, of course Henrietta's just shattered. She didn't get Jupiter. As she's reminded us so many times that she wanted so badly, Jupiter was actually given to Reardon. And over the course of a quick conversation, it comes to the point where Reardon and Henrietta actually swap gifts, to where Reardon is happy to take the Tropic of Capricorn, and Henrietta is happy, of course, to take Jupiter.
And it's kind of King Friday's idea. I mean, he facilitates the exchange, but he tells Reardon, you can give it to whoever you want. And he doesn't sound too happy about the fuss that Henrietta's caused, which, as a parent, maybe, you know, or as the parental figure, I probably wouldn't be either
if true,
my kid had, you know, caused trouble like that. But
yeah. So everybody's happy at this point, and it's time for tea, and everyone is invited to the tea room for tea. And just for the record, the tea room is just down the hall from the S room and across the hall from room number 20 in the castle. And in the tea room, King Friday continues to entertain a bit more with a few more poems, the first being his version of Three Blind Mice, this one called Three Rodents with Defective Eyesight. And then he also does his version of Row, Row, Row Your Boat that we've all heard, you know, several times on the show and in other places. Propel, propel, propel your craft.
And there's the polite applause after each of them, too.
Yes, and well, the polite applause, and then speaking of the applause, once propel, propel, propel your craft is finished, King Friday announces that there will be cake and ice cream, which is where we hear that I guess, canned applause and canned cheering we heard earlier.
And now for the cake and ice cream.
So at this point, Mr. Rogers steps back in. He's still in the neighborhood of make-believe with us, watching things happen, watching things unfold. But he chimes back in, and we hear his voice as he basically wraps things up. He starts to wrap things up by singing the song Tomorrow, which we're all, I'm sure, or many people are very familiar with as the closing song from the television show for many years.
And it's like the nightclub version of the Tomorrow Song.
No, that's a good description, because it's, you know, in addition to Mr. Rogers singing it, Reardon also sings a portion of this song, and it's very upbeat. It's very, not that the original one or the one from the show wasn't upbeat, but it's very nightclubby. That's a great description.
Don't you picture him with a sequin jacket and like catching the microphone midair as somebody throws it to him? I mean, it's really jazzy.
Maybe not Mr. Rogers so much, but definitely Reardon. I mean, I can, now that you described it, I can see, I've got that image of Reardon in my head.
We'll say a happy tomorrow to you.
Tomorrow, tomorrow, we'll start the day tomorrow with a song or two.
The trolley comes back, and I kind of forgot, since he was singing Tomorrow, I just kind of figured, oh, we're back at the house now. But the trolley comes, and then I guess Fred hops back on the trolley and goes back through the tunnel. And he yells again as he goes through. He says, hello, through the tunnel. And then the next track is really the wrap-up. Interesting that they sing Tomorrow earlier. And then Fred sings Goodnight, God.
Good night, God, and thank you for this very lovely day. Thank you, too, for helping us at work and at our play. Thank you for our families, for each and every friend. Forgive us, please, for anything we've done that might offend.
There's an instrumental of the main theme, the song that we heard in the very first track, but it's just like the closing, you know, what would play over the end credits, basically. And then Fred does say during it, let's visit again tomorrow, and which I think means let's play the record again. And then he says, you've made this day a special day just by being here, which of course is his sign off on the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood for years and years. And that's the end of the record.
That is into the record. King Friday the 13th celebrates. My thanks again to Eric for spending some time sharing some thoughts with us tonight. For all of you listening, I hope you've enjoyed our breakdown here of this album. And I thank you as well for spending some time listening to this. Again, between now and the possible next podcast, I hope you'll continue to enjoy the Neighborhood Archive.